Welcome, everyone, to the Take the Points College Football Podcast Bowl Game Spectacular Part 1. We do two of these a year. This is the big one where we go through all of the non-New Year's Six bowls. And there's, I can't even count, but there's got to be like 30 of them. So we have a lot to cover today. I am Tom. I'm here with Dan and Ryan. So for all you listeners, we are going to go through each bowl one at a time. We'll each give our picks straight up against the spread, some traps, some locks, some totals, etc. But first, I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Dan Partridge. We've done this show for 5 years, Dan, and each year we do our annual bowl game betting tips. So why don't you tell everyone what to look for when betting bowl games and how it's different than the regular season?
Thanks, Tom. It's a very interesting time of year if you like college football. It is not like the regular season. These are not your normal, you know, week 8 games that take place in October. So there's a few things to keep an eye on. First is motivation. Where is the location of the game? Have these players played in that area before? Are they familiar with the area? Are they happy that they're there? If they had won last week, would they be in an awesome game and maybe this game isn't so good? Or maybe, on the other hand, they actually had to win last week to, you know, make this game. So maybe they're just happy that they are there. So motivation is kind of the first thing that you got to look at in terms of these crazy college football bowl games. Another thing to look at is head coaches. A lot of head coaches move this time of year. Very interesting to see how some teams respond to not having their head coach. Some teams will have their head coach, even though they might be moving on to a new school after this year, which is a really, you know, interesting thing and motivation angle. So head coaching is another one. And another aspect to coaching is how these coaches view these, you know, exhibition games, if you will. You know, there are certain coaches who really are not interested in you know, putting forth much effort, i.e. Bill Snyder of Kansas State up until, you know, last year, actually. Other coaches like Utah's Kyle Whittingham put a lot of stock into bowl games, and he's actually won 10 out of 11 at this point, which is very impressive. Another aspect to look at is location. Where are these games at? It might be hard for a team from the Northeast to get on a plane and fly to a very nice warm weather location and then have to go out and play a meaningless football game. They might not have any interest in playing football. They are just there for their, you know, meals and hotels and hanging out on the beach. So every year, there are these weird, you know, aspects and angles that just always pop up. And once again, this year, there's a whole bunch of them, like all over the place. So it'll be a lot of fun to go through that. Those are my main angles that I keep an eye on, and we'll see how we do. We did really well last year in the bowl season. We're going to try to do it again this year. We're going to give you two locks, two traps, and two totals this week. And then next week, even though we're only doing a few games, it'll still be three normal picks for sure. So try to finish the year on a strong note and have some fun this bowl season and have some Cheerios in your bowl if need be. That's all.
Dan, last year we found a very lucrative scheme for betting unders. This was not our idea, but you had heard it somewhere from someone who I don't know. I don't even know who to give credit to, but it worked great. I think I went 33-4 or something using this scheme. So are we doing this again? And if so, absolutely, please explain to people what it is.
Yeah, I actually read about this on a Covers forum post. It went 37-3 last year, which is crazy. The three losses are, unfortunately, minus 3 units each. So that's still a plus 28 units over bowl season. The theory is that in order for an over and a half to come in, both teams have to show motivation. And it's rare that both teams are motivated for two halves of football. So in at least one of the halves, the under comes in. So more or less, you bet one unit on the under of the first half. If it wins, you're done with that game. If the over for the first half would come in, you would bet two units on the second half under, which will be posted at halftime. Keep it simple like that. 37-3 last year is pretty hard to argue with. That's a crazy number. So, another small tweak on this, they recommend betting 2% of your total bankroll on the first half and 4% on the second half if need be, which I ran some numbers and sounds exactly right. So
it still works out to one unit and two units. It just depends on how the number you want to bet. So use whatever number you want, but this worked out great. I missed the first day of bowls last year doing this, the Saturday, which was like five bowl games I missed, all winners. So I won like 32, 33 games. People who got in early won, I think, 37, as you said. So I think I'll be doing this again.
Hell yeah. Can't wait. Starting on Saturday. All day.
Ryan, what are you looking forward to in this bowl season?
Hey, welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to give you a chance to talk since we've been going on for a while.
No, that's okay. I appreciate that. Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing a few different things. I want to see, the coach things that Dan talked about. I'm really interested to see which, how some of these coaches handle the teams, handle the bowls, handle the media pressures of potentially moving to other jobs or not taking other jobs, so forth. So I'm really interested in that. And then, I'm just really looking forward to actually seeing some draft prospects. You know, some of these guys that maybe I haven't seen much of this year, I want to really get an idea of what they can do in a big game. So I'm looking forward to that.
There's nothing I love more than the December 22nd shootout game between whoever, Troy and Western Kentucky or whatever in a normal year. That's not a game this year, but I'm just using that as an example. So I think it's time to get started because, as you guys can see here, I've got a large spreadsheet with many, many games on it. We're going to do this round robin style. Dan will go first on each game. Ryan will go second, and then I'll go third. But the first game I have here is the Celebration Bowl, which I know you guys don't do in your pool out there in Arizona. So if you have no thoughts, I can just handle this one myself if you'd like.
Go right ahead, Tom.
So this is the annual Grambling game. Grambling faces North Carolina A&T this year, and A&T is an 8.5-point favorite, according to the lines. The lines I have are from earlier today. We're recording on Wednesday, I don't even know what the day is, the 13th of December. So by the time you hear this, and certainly by the time the games are played, these lines will be a little bit off, but we just use them to give you an idea of where we're leaning. So this game is in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the new one. Both teams are on 11-game win streaks, which is just incredible. This is the third ever Celebration Bowl. North Carolina A&T won the game the first year, and Grambling won the last year. So this is the rubber match. So that's very exciting. Grambling defense is pretty good. They have the most sacks in the entire FCS with 45. But North Carolina A&T, I think, is kind of special this year. They have 12 players were named to the first team all MEAC conference, which is just amazing. I mean, imagine if 12, even a good team, Ohio State players were named to the first team all Big Ten. Like, that would be an incredible Ohio State team. So they could also be the first MEAC team to ever go undefeated in the 14 years of the conference if they win this game. So they've got the motivation. And their defense allows 12.3 points a game, which is second in the FCS. So they've got a lot going for them. So my pick is North Carolina A&T. That's in a straight-up pool. However, 8.5's a lot, and I think it's going to stay around that, 8.5, 9.5. So if you give me that many points in any bowl game, almost any bowl game, I'm going to take it. So Grambling against the spread, but North Carolina A&T straight up. That's the pick.
That was a lot of information, Tom.
That was a lot. I pride myself on being the podcast that can give you a ton of information about Grambling, North Carolina A&T, Troy, Middle Tennessee State. And when we get to Alabama, Clemson, I'm just going to be like, Clemson's D is pretty good.
Yep.
So get ready. All right. So here's the FBS bowls. And we'll start with the New Orleans Bowl on December 16th. North Texas versus Troy. Troy is a 6.5-point favorite. Dan, kick it off for us.
All right. Here we go. College Bowl season 2017. Time to pick some fucking winners. Here we go. Game one. Troy is a superior team. Last time they were in Louisiana, they beat LSU. However, we like North Texas. We think they'll shake off that loss to FAU in Florida, and they'll play a good, close, tight game. I'll take the 6.5. I'm only picking games against the spread. I'll take North Texas in the 6.5. However, I will say that over the past 5 years, if you look at just picking winners first against the spread, it's almost identical. So pretty much all you need to do is pick the winner and not really worry about the spread when it comes to picking bowl games, allegedly. So I'm going to keep an eye on that this year. That being said, take the points, North Texas.
All right. I agree with you, Dan. I like North Texas. I've liked North Texas all year. I think Troy is definitely a little bit of a better team, but I think North Texas plays a fast tempo, and Troy likes to slow it down. So I think with that, North Texas is going to keep that game close. So I agree.
Oh, wow. So this is going to be my first disagreement. So I like Troy. I think Troy is one of the best non-Power 5 teams in the country. They beat LSU. They had a great season. They won the Sun Belt, which is, you know, not a simple thing to do. I do like North Texas. We talked about them a lot, and we talked about them as being a potential bowl sleeper. I just don't like the matchup for them. Mason Fine is a great QB, 3,500 yards passing this year nearly, but he is prone to interceptions. And Troy, just they have a great coach. They both have great coaches. They both have great offenses. Troy just has played a tougher schedule throughout the year. North Texas hasn't been challenged quite in the way Troy has. And when they have been, for example, playing against Florida Atlantic and Lane Kiffin, they've lost big time. So I like Troy, and I'm going to lay it with Troy also. I think they get a late cover. I don't think they're going to blow them out or anything like that, but this should be a nice high-scoring fun game. All right, moving along, the Cure Bowl, also December 16th. Georgia State versus Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky is a 6.5-point favorite.
Well, Tom, this game is called the Cure Bowl, so let's see how many corny Cure references I can get into this one.
I was really thinking about queuing up the music, but we did that last year, and so I'm tapped out of songs. Well,
you can say that since this game takes place, the first game on, was it December 16th, which is a Saturday? You can say then it's Friday, I'm in love, because this game's horrible. I'll be having more fun on Friday than I will on Saturday. It is not just like heaven. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, what does he say about Saturday in the song? All I remember is the way he pronounces
Saturday
it. Saturday!
Can wait. So, yeah, you can wait and start your bowl season after the Cure Bowl.
Well, there's five games, so you can wait for one of the other four.
I would wait for this one to be over, because this is probably the worst game of the whole bowl season. Both teams have lost 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 rolling in. Pretty much when something like this happens, I'm not looking at anything outside of taking the points if it's anything more than a field goal, which it is in this situation. So I'll take Georgia State in the points.
Totally agree again, Dan. I like Georgia State in this game. I actually kind of like them almost straight up. I think they're a better team defensively. So for me, I like Georgia State.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you guys again. I'm going to take Western Kentucky, and I'm going to lay the points. I have very little confidence. This might be my 1-point confidence pool game, like the lowest confidence of all the games. But Georgia State, both of these teams are not good, right? They're both 6-win teams, but my only experience with Georgia State is seeing them just get demolished by Penn State. which many teams did, but they just look bad. And Western Kentucky still has a little bit of talent left from the Brohm era, so I'll go with them. Backdoor cover. All right, here we go, guys. First good, well, you know what? North Texas Troy is a really good one, but this is another good one, the second good one, the Las Vegas Bowl. Also on the 16th, Boise State and Oregon. Oregon minus 7 should have Justin Herbert back. New coach. Dan, what do you think?
Well, here's our first kind of situation where a team's playing without their coach. In this situation, it is a negative for sure. The players love Willie Taggart. That being said, it's all X's and O's for me. It's the same offensive coordinator. When Oregon has their quarterback, they're an extremely underrated team. I think they're a top maybe 12 team, 15 team in the country when they're healthy. I think they're going to hammer Boise State. Boise State, once again, is playing in the Vegas Bowl after winning the Mountain West. Very little motivation. They just came off playing Fresno State two times in a row to close the year. The Mountain West Championship game was super sloppy, low scoring. This Boise team's not good. They got that 27th year quarterback, Mark Rippon, as far as I'm concerned, I'm calling him that. Plus the loser from Kansas running around back there. They're just not that good, and Oregon can score points in bunches. And I think they're going to go out there in Vegas and have some fun. My only concern is it's Oregon and Vegas and suspensions, but hopefully all the Chip Kelly players have moved on at this point. I think they'll be all right. I think they're going to blow Boise out. So I like Oregon in this game, contrary to what most people think.
Whew, 3 for 3, Dan. Totally agree. What you said about the players loving Taggart, absolutely. But over 70 players signed a petition to keep Mario Cristobal and make him the head coach. So as you said, same coordinator. They might like him more than they even like Taggart.
It's a big deal.
I think this is a huge, huge deal. I think Oregon having their quarterback makes a massive difference. To me, you could made this spread anywhere up to 19.5, and I'd feel comfortable taking it. I think Oregon beats them by 3+ scores.
All right, so I'm going to agree with Ryan on that. Well, I'll agree with both of you on the pick. I'm going Oregon, but with this caveat, I want to be positive Justin Herbert is healthy, and I'll be waiting right up until game time before placing any kind of wager on that one. But I think they can outgun Boise State, and I think where I'm saying I agree with Ryan is that I think there's not going to be the coaching drop-off with this team that there is with others. Those guys love Cristobal. They love Taggart, but, man, they turned on Taggart real quick when he left after a year. They turned on him, and I think having turned on him, that made them love Cristobal even more, so I think they're going to play hard for him. But with or without Herbert, this is a totally different team, so he makes all the difference. He needs to be there, and he needs to be healthy. Next game. Excellent. The New Mexico Bowl. All right, we're getting down in your guys' area. Also on the 16th, Marshall versus Colorado State. Colorado State is a 5.5-point favorite. I don't know much about either of these teams this year.
Well, that's why you ask the regional experts. This game traditionally is fucking crazy. There's been a lot of crazy high-scoring shootouts, horrible weather, some snow, some sleet, very, very weird stuff. Marshall, however, is really bad, and they've lost 4 of 5 to close the year. They don't look so good. Now they got to go all the way across the country to play in New Mexico. That sounds a little strange to me. Colorado State has a pretty short trip from where they're located in Colorado to go down to New Mexico. It'll be almost a home field game for them. They have a really good quarterback, senior Nick Stevens, really underrated. You'll see him at the NFL Combine. I think about 28 touchdowns, 5 picks only. So that's pretty hard to beat. I'm going to pick my first favorite so far and take Colorado State and lay the 5.5.
Dan, this is getting boring. I'm just agreeing with everything you're saying so far. There's going to be some disagreements. I know there will be, but so far, you know, we're pretty much in line. I think Marshall sucks. Colorado State's superior. Let's go.
They are.
All right. So we got a second in a row, 3 for 3. I got Colorado State straight up and with the points. And as I said, I don't know much about either of these teams. I've looked up some of the numbers and they mirror what you said, Dan. Marshall, I will say, we talk about who's a good bowl team. Marshall's won 10 of 11 bowls in the last 11 years. So they're a team that turns out for their bowl games. Do they have the talent to match up? As you said, they're not as good as they are many years. So despite their strong bowl performance, I'm going with Colorado State, and this is why. It's a coaching thing, but it's not the coaching thing you might think of. This is their last game for their defensive coordinator, Marty English, who apparently they love. He is retiring, not leaving them for another school, just retiring. So I think they're going to go all out for Marty. Win one for Marty.
All right.
I like it, Tom. One more thing to add on that. I just want to mention, you said about Marshall and their bowl record. If you go back and look at that, half of those bowl wins are the New Orleans Bowl in a dome. Marshall's fine, but like Dan said, this is a weird game with weird weather. You don't go to New Mexico and expect to be freezing cold and having sleet and stuff, and that's going to throw them off.
Yep. All right. Everyone thinks it's going to be a nice warm weather game in New Mexico. It's fucking freezing. You'll see.
Yeah, as a person who's never lived out west, I picture New Mexico is similar climate to where you guys are.
No.
Nope, watch Breaking Bad. Those guys are freezing cold at night.
Always wear jackets.
Jesse Pinkman's always in a parka. That's New Mexico.
All right. I think that is a thing that most people don't know unless they're from around there. They assume New Mexico is Arizona. Well, it's between Arizona and Texas. I think people assume it's the same climate.
It's in mountain time for a reason, which I also didn't know till I moved out here. But yes, New Mexico is mountain time for a reason. It's elevated and it's cold as shit. Moving on. Too much time on that game.
All right. Good tips. The Camellia Bowl. Also, this is the final bowl on the 16th. This is 8 p.m. Middle Tennessee State versus Arkansas State. Dan, we love Arkansas State on this podcast. Historically, I don't want to spoil this pick.
Well, there's not much else to say. Arkansas State loves covering in bowl games. Their quarterback's pretty good. Middle Tennessee State's defense has a total of 4 interceptions this year. That's not enough in college football. We're going to get shredded. Lay it with Arkansas State.
All right. I do agree. I think that the half point scares me a little bit. I think the three even would make this a little bit more, a little bit better for me. But I do like both these teams. Arkansas State, we traditionally always bet on hard with the bowl season. They always do well in the bowls. But we also have, me personally, I've been on Middle Tennessee State most of the season as well, though they've looked really good. The thing that kind of pushes this over the edge to me is, folks, listeners, do yourself a favor and Google Arkansas State new football facilities, because they're getting some super dope new stuff coming in, a ridiculous like stadium with a waterfall and locker rooms. Like, they're getting hooked up. They're fired up. This is them kind of turning their program and taking it to the next step up financially and facility wise. So for me, that kind of pushes this really, really close matchup a little bit towards Arkansas State for me. So I'm going to take them.
I did not know that. Is there a big time donor or somebody who's spearheading this initiative?
No clue.
There's oil money galore down there. I'm sure somebody's giving away something.
This is what I was saying a few weeks ago about UTEP. Like, instead of trying to be an Alabama booster, you find some school that doesn't have any boosters and you become the one rich guy that supports Arkansas State. And then if they do make it big, all of a sudden you're the T-Boone Pickens of Arkansas State.
Good point.
Well, it's good stuff. So Google that, because it's really actually pretty cool to look at. The waterfall and stuff looks pretty cool.
So in addition to doing this pool with you guys and the Arizona people, I'm doing a pool with Syracuse people that I do each year. What is the one thing you guys know about Syracuse sports fans?
Well, they're delusional, and they're going to look at this and go, Middle Tennessee State beat us. And if they beat us, they're really good. So Everybody from upstate New York is taking Middle Tennessee State. So, Tom, you can go ahead and make some side bets with the family. And you could probably win yourself like 30, 40 bucks cash off your, your uncles and your dad and stuff.
So you just took everything I was about to say. So thank you for doing that. This is going to be one of my top 3 confidence picks, because I feel like I can really take a strong lead in the Syracuse poll with this one. So Arkansas State all the way, straight up and against the spread. All right, where are we? Oh, fellas.
You know where we are.
Fellas.
You know where we are.
12-19, the only game on the 19th, because this game demands its own day. We don't want any competition for Mr. Lane Kiffin. The Boca Raton Bowl, a home game for Florida Atlantic, hosting Akron. Dan, any words you want to say about Lane Kiffin and his remarkable job? And are we surprised he's still there?
Yes and no. I feel like old Lane may have left to take an inferior job or an offensive coordinator job, but I think he's going to stay there and prove that he's loyal-ish to a program and will be there 2 years. He's going to have this whole team return almost next year. They're going to smash people, and there'll be a whole bunch of new jobs open. So I think it's actually smart for him to stay for another year. Hats off to Lane. Great job coaching. Great job on Twitter. Just winning football this year. MVP. We will talk about him in great detail in the championship episode, which I'll save most of that. But how can you wager on, you know, Akron in the spot ever? They're playing at Lane in his stadium. They're going to be going crazy. So lay it with Lane until further notice. One quick other note, high temperature in Albuquerque on Saturday is 47. Just checking that out. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right. Well, well said, Dan. Obviously, our favorite team and coach this entire season on Take the Points has been Lane Kiffin. So you pretty much said everything that needs to be said. Laying it with Lane. There's only what, guys? There's two bowl games that have double-digit spreads.
Yeah.
That's it.
Very,
two.
Very low.
And this is the only one that's over two touchdowns. The only one. So that's telling you that everybody knows, Vegas knows that this is going to be a blowout. This is going to be an absolute bloodbath. Akron blows. Like, really legitimately, they suck. Florida Atlantic is going to absolutely kill them. I know that you guys love this under theory, but for this game, I would definitely look at taking the over, because it's right around 62, 63 right now, and I think Florida Atlantic's going to put up a 60 spot themselves. I think they're easily going to put up a 60 spot. So this is one random game where I would definitely look at playing an over.
Well, just to be clear, you can still do the under theory and still get an over by just having a ton of points in one half. That's usually how it works. I mean, half of these games go over, but the under theory still works in most of them. So I'm with you, a game over. Florida Atlantic for sure, straight up. And then I'm also going to take them with the points. As you said, Akron, I think, is probably one of the weakest teams in a bowl game this year. You know, they had an okay season, but compared to Florida Atlantic, who is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, non-Power 5 team in the nation, Akron can't match up. So Lane Kiffin all the way. Lay it with Lane.
Fuck yeah.
12-20, the Frisco Bowl, 8 p.m. on ESPN. This is Frisco, Texas, not San Francisco. Louisiana Tech versus SMU. We got another coaching change to look out for in this game, Dan.
That's right. Chad Morris, our boy, has moved on to greener pastures. Same kind of theory applies to the Oregon game. I was looking, trying to find a way to take Louisiana Tech, and it is just not there. It should be an SMU route. We'll see if they show up or not. I'm going to take SMU.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I think for me, it's just because SMU has a super legit offense. They have a wide receiver who might end up being one, if not the first wide receiver taken in the NFL draft. He's going to go in the first round. He's going to go probably in the top 15 to 20 at least, Cortland Sutton. So do yourself a favor. It's the only game on the 20th. Watch this guy, because you're going to be seeing him on Sundays. This dude is a beast. He's like 6'4", 220. Yep. Awesome, awesome player. I just don't think Louisiana Tech can stop him. I think he's going to have, close to 200 yards receiving.
Yeah, we love all the Louisiana teams, La Tech, UL Monroe, ULL. but none of them were quite as good as normal this year. So as much as you might want to take Louisiana Tech in this spot, I think you have to lay the 5.5 with, or the 5 with SMU, and definitely take SMU straight up. Do you guys know who is coaching this game for SMU? Morris is gone. Interim coach Jeff Traylor actually left to follow Morris to Arkansas. So do you know who will be coming in and taking over?
No clue.
Mr. Sonny Dykes.
Yeah, even better.
So get ready for some scoring.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, we go to another great one. The Gasparilla Bowl, which you might know, you might better know as the Bad Boy Mower Gasparilla Boy Bowl.
Your favorite.
Yeah, this is another one where I should have queued up the music. Because Tennessee isn't in a bowl and I couldn't play the Arrested Development song, I decided not to do music, but I should have had some Bad Boys for Life playing for this one. And that's on me, guys. So what do we got? All right, this one will be quick, guys. Temple versus Florida International, Temple minus 7.
All right, I'll start it. This line makes no sense to me. This game's in Florida, and this is what I was talking about for motivation. Temple is Joe average team. They are not good. They lost to the UConn Huskies. That's all you need to know, folks. You're telling me a team that's gonna that is lost to the UConn Husk is going to get on a plane from New Jersey in December, Christmas week, and beat a team from Florida playing at home, coached by a national championship winning coach, Butch Davis, and they're going to cover that more than a touchdown? Nope, for a whole bunch of reasons. Love Florida International. I'll take the 7 all day. This was nearly one of my locks of the week, but there's two I actually like more, but this is going to be a high confidence pick for me in my pool.
Ah, I'm so glad you said that, Dan, because I completely disagree.
Oh, fantastic.
And for the exact reasons that you like Florida International or the exact reasons I like Temple.
Ooh.
The motivation factor. Florida International doesn't get to travel. They get to stay in Florida where they've been all year. They don't get to go anywhere cool. Temple, as you said, not a great team. They probably didn't even think they were going to make a bowl. And lo and behold, they get to leave that freezing cold Northeast to go down to Florida, get some cool gift bags, maybe bang a tourist or two. Ah, no, I love Temple in this spot. I absolutely love Temple. I always think their defense is legit and defense travels. So I don't think that their lack of scoring scares me that much. I don't know why you like Butch Davis. We're going to have a conversation off air about that. But for me, I like Temple. And I'm excited I get to argue against Dan on this. I like Temple. I like the Owls. FAU Owls, Temple Owls. Owl parlay. Do it up.
There's a lot of Owls bowling this year. So I just want to point out that this is formerly the St. Petersburg Bowl, which is famous, most famous, and perhaps its only famous thing, for the field that we've joked about for 2 years that looked like a giant dog pissed all over the field. It was like they took parts of other fields where the colors didn't match and put them all together. And who was chosen to represent the Great Northeast in this game a couple of years ago but the UConn Huskies? And one of the worst bowl games of that year. So a strong tradition of being terrible in this game. And I think it continues. I'm looking for a ugly, low-scoring game. I did have Florida International for the reasons Dan listed, but I think I might have to reassess that based on what you said, Ryan. So, well, don't get too cocky because I still got Florida International listed. So I'm not ready to make Temple my call, but I will after the podcast. I'll check it out before I put any money down on this, but I guess for now my pick is FIU. All right, the 22nd, the Bahamas Bowl. This is always one of the best bowls, no matter who's in it. This, of course, was the famous Central Michigan game from a couple years ago, and then they had a pretty good game last year as well. So we've got UAB versus Ohio. Ohio is a 7.5-point favorite.
All right, this game is also traditionally crazy, and a lot of nonsense goes down. I'm going to take UAB in the 7.5 because they weren't a football program a couple years ago. They have a lot of good motivation. And Ohio lost at University of Buffalo to end the year. That's all you need to know about that. I'm not taking a team whose last game they lost at UB laying 7.5 points. Simple as that. Give me UAB in the 7.5.
Totally agree. Way too many points, Dan. I love that UAB, you know, lost their program, brought it back, made it to a bowl. By the way, their coach was just named like the coach of the year by the Football Writers Association of America. Tim Brando's been tweeting about him all day. And if Timmy B respects and loves this guy, then who am I to argue with Tim Brando, the godfather? So give me UAB all day.
Not only that, but he just beat out Lane Kiffin, who came in second in that poll. And Lane tweeted, basically, hell yeah, like UAB coach should have won. So you got a lot of people high on this guy. I got UAB straight up. I'm going to take UAB. Well, I'm going to take UAB with the points. I'm going to take them on the money line. Straight up upset. UAB. Ohio, as you said, Buffalo loss is a deal breaker. But even then, Ohio's not the best team in the MAC. Toledo's far and away the class of the MAC. Ohio's a pretty good team. But UAB, there's something a little bit special about this season. And I think they're a good team also. So let's roll with them. Oh, I'll take an over in that game too.
All right.
Famous Idaho Potato Bowl on the 22nd. Central Michigan versus Wyoming. It's a pick 'em as of earlier today. I know that line has moved a lot. So this one, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on. We got Josh Allen and then a bunch of guys nobody's heard of. Dan?
I don't think Josh Allen's going to play in this game. I don't think it really matters. He hasn't played since November, 12th or something like that. He's questionable at best. I don't think for his draft stock there's any positive in him playing in this game whatsoever. For that reason, I'll take Central Michigan in one of the most boring bowl games of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. I'll take Central Michigan. Great.
Bad game.
All right, I was not aware. I figured Josh Allen would play. So if he's out, then I'm going with Central Michigan all the way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, moving along to December 23rd, noon Eastern, the Birmingham Bowl. This one will be fun. Texas Tech against South Florida. Kingsbury versus Strong. USF minus 2.5.
We've come to our first lock, folks. If you saw the way Texas Tech played their last game in this season at 5-6 to win, to make a bowl game, you will know that they are not going to show up whatsoever for this game. Their defense is already horrible. South Florida's quarterback is a senior. Is it Quentin Flowers? Was that his name? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is his last game. What a dream scenario as a quarterback. Well, let me think here. Last collegiate game in a bowl. Who should I play? Oh, I don't know. Texas fucking Tech. Best matchup ever to go out on style. They're going to score at ease. Number two confidence pick this whole bowl season. Love South Florida minus 2.5 in an absolute rout.
Dan, people have been talking about how Texas Tech's defense has improved this year. I'm serious. I mean, it's not exactly a compliment since they were the worst in the nation last year, but
we'll see.
Can we just call it a lateral move?
They're going to get thrashed.
Yeah, they went from what, giving up 53 to giving up 50 a game? Like, great. Right.
Yeah,
like, who gives a shit? No, absolutely, totally agree with Dan. South Florida all day. Charlie Strong is had a fantastic year. Cliff and his boys are just happy to be there. This is going to be an absolute slaughter. And I love South Florida in this game.
All right, I'm with you guys on both of these. Dan, I think I have a feeling. Well, I'm positive I know what your other lock is going to be, your number one confidence, which I think I agree with you on. This would definitely be one of my highest confidence picks. USF laying the points and straight up. The only thing I would watch out for, and there's only a little over a week to go. So it's unlikely, but Chaz Strong has been the subject of some interest from teams. And if something happens and he ends up moving on, then maybe that changes things. But I think it's unlikely at this point.
There's no Power Five jobs open right now. They're all filled. He's not going to leave to go to like SMU or something like that.
You don't think like coordinator, pro job, something like that?
No. He's living it up in South Florida. He's good for another year.
I don't think he should. I know he was quite the buzz for the last several weeks. Anyway, we'll take South Florida then, unanimously.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Nick Saban, I'm calling him. I mean, I lost Jeremy Pruitt. I'm definitely calling Charlie Strong and being like, hey, man.
Right, you know, something like that.
But I just don't see that happening.
Okay. If there is a position available, I feel like he's on a short list. So just be aware. If he is to leave, then I cancel my bet on them. Let's see. Armed Forces Bowl. Here we go. San Diego State, one of the big military cities, faces Army, who beat Navy last week. So we got a solid Armed Forces Bowl this year. San Diego State is a 7-point favorite. Dan, what do you think?
I think this is a pretty awful year for all the Armed Forces teams. I think overall, I think they're all pretty shitty. I'm going to pick against them in all the bowls. So therefore, San Diego State always have a great rushing attack. I think Army sucks. Yada, yada. Go San Diego State.
Totally agree. San Diego State's got a running back who ended up finishing, what, like 7th or something in the Heisman voting? Like he got a bunch of votes. So that dude can play. I know Army sees running attacks all day, every day at practice, but this kid's really special. We all loved Pumphrey last year at San Diego State, and this kid's, I think, better and more versatile. So I like San Diego State in this game.
All right. I disagree with both of you. I obviously agreed with Ryan that they have a great running back, and he's the best player in this game. And so that gives an advantage to them on paper. But Army, I think, is a better team. SDSU doesn't really have a trademark win on this season. I don't think they've beaten anyone great. And Army, while you can debate how great these wins are, in the last month they did beat Duke, Navy, and Air Force, and they lost to the aforementioned North Texas 52-49 in a pretty competitive game. So they've been playing well. I'm picking Army straight up. Upset.
Didn't San Diego State beat Stanford?
Did they?
San Diego, yeah, I think they beat Stanford early in the year.
I'll have to look that up. If so, then everything I said is completely wrong and you should ignore me.
Fair enough.
Check it out.
I might be wrong, but I'll look it up.
That might have been one of those first couple games where Stanford was not good.
That very well could have been like the second game of the year, but I believe they did beat them super early.
Keep looking.
Beat them 2017.
Oh, wow.
Week 3. San Diego State beat Arizona State and Stanford back-to-back weeks 2 and 3.
Well, we'll talk about Arizona State later. I guess that's impressive then. All right, my logic is wrong, but I'm still going to go with Army out of pure stubbornness.
Good.
So please ignore me, all listeners, and go with Dan and Ryan. But I'm locked in. I don't care. All right, the 23rd, the Dollar General Bowl. App State versus Toledo. Toledo minus 7.5. I've kind of tipped my hand on this one already, but Dan, why don't you go ahead?
I really like Appalachian State. Another senior quarterback, 27 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. This is my favorite, my second favorite over of the bowl season, over 62.5. So we're going to go over on that, and I'll take Appalachian State and the points.
I disagree, Dan. I think that Appalachian State's a bit overrated. I think a lot of those 27-6 stats were against some pretty garbage opponents. Toledo is not garbage. They are clearly the most superior team in the MAC. I think that they are a 2-touchdown favorite in every single MAC game. you know, going back and looking at it. And I think they should be a 2-touchdown favorite in this game. So for me, I love Toledo in this.
Yeah, I'm with Ryan. Toledo was a 21-point favorite or a 19-point favorite in the MAC championship game, and they covered that. And I think App State's all right, but I don't think they're quite as good as some of the other years they made bowls. So I'm actually going to lay the 7.5 with Toledo and then obviously pick Toledo straight up. I am on board with your overpick, Dan. I forgot to mention a few games ago, Texas Tech, South Florida. There is no over high enough for me to stay away from that one. I'm in on the over on that game, no matter what it is. I have no clue what it is, but I'm in. 80, 85. I'm
126.
I was going to say 128.5 is a good number to look at.
Over. Do it. All right. Here's another potential over game. The Hawaii Bowl. This one's on Christmas Eve, as per usual. Houston versus Fresno State. Houston -2.5. This is always the teams that make this bowl. It's always smaller teams, and it is kind of tough when they have to play Christmas Eve. But, man, to get to go to Hawaii when some of these other teams are playing in, like, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, you're very fortunate to make this bowl game.
Absolutely.
The Bahamas Bowl might have usurped this as, like, the best trip to go on, but this is at least second.
This is number one. Hawaii's way better than going to the freaking Bahamas. Bahamas is basically just America over there. It's the same thing.
I've never been, like, to either, so.
I've been to the Virgin Islands. Does that count? Not really. But I'm guessing Hawaii seems better. There's more surfing and actual Hawaiian people and culture. Bahamas just seem like an American vacation island to me. Like, there people go there to go hook up at the island's resort. That's... Anyway, this is how I view the Bahamas. I'm never going to go, if you can't tell. anyway, this is a weird game. Traditionally, I remember Nevada and Colin Kaepernick getting waxed as a 21-point favorite and losing outright to June Jones back in the day in this game. That one always sticks with me. Fresno, like Boise, just played Boise 2 games in a row. They lost the Mountain West title. They don't get to go to Vegas. They get to go to Hawaii instead. I think that's an upgrade. Houston has a superior defensive line. They have a really excellent defensive line, in fact. I'm actually going to change my pick on my sheet and go with Fresno State. I really like their quarterback. He's a grad transfer from Oregon State. He's put up some good numbers. Let's roll with Fresno State and Jim Tedford to get it done on New Year or on Christmas Eve.
All right. Well, you were on the right track, Dan, and then you veered a little bit off the road. You hit some ice. You were talking about Houston's defensive line, and then you went off the guardrails, Dan. But that's where you should have stopped that conversation. Is Houston's defensive line is the most superior unit in this game. I don't think Fresno has a very good offense. They're going to struggle to score any points whatsoever. I know Houston has struggled to score a lot of points this year, but it is my boy Major Applewhite. He did produce one of the 5 greatest bowl moments in my lifetime, and I will always be indebted to him for that. So for that, I'm rolling with Major Applewhite in Houston. Let's do it.
Also, keep in mind that Major Applewhite is calling plays because the offensive coordinator actually left yesterday. So Applewhite assumes play calling duty for this game.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, I know you'd like that little tidbit.
So I don't think there's a bigger crapshoot in the entire bowl season than this one.
Correct.
In Hawaii, on Christmas Eve, a team missing a coordinator, a team that just lost twice in a row to Boise, 2.5-point spread. We have no idea. I have a feeling somebody's getting blown out, but I have no clue who it is. Therefore, I'm just going to go with Houston because I think they're a little more talented. I think Major Applewhite is a good coach, and maybe we'll have them ready, but who knows? I might use a 1-point confidence on this game or a 2. Like, this will be super low confidence. Because there's just no way to predict this accurately. I will take an over because I have a feeling we don't like defense in Hawaii. No, Ryan?
Oh, I completely disagree. I think this game's going to end like 30-6.
Oh, all right. Well,
we'll see.
As I said, total crapshoot. There's no outcome of this game that would surprise me. So we'll see what happens. All right, jumping ahead to December 26th, after Christmas now. Next three games all on the 26th. So we start with the Heart of Dallas Bowl, Utah versus West Virginia. Utah seemed like a surprising 7-point favorite. That line seemed high, but, you know, I think when you look at coaching and some of the things, Dan, you talked about earlier, maybe that explains some of the line. What do you think?
Yeah, this is a weird one. This is the, like, morning after Christmas. This is also another weird game. Wake up and make sure that you have your under first half wager in for sure on this one. West Virginia, I think, is going to get blown out. They have every reason to no-show for this game. They have, you know, aspirations every year of winning the Big 12 or playing in a big bowl game. You know, they have some history, you know, with Pat White and some recent teams and things like that. Even hanging a whole bunch of points on Clemson, you know, a couple of years ago in the Orange Bowl. You know, that was pretty crazy.
Oh, the famous 70-point game?
Pretty impressive, Mr. Geno himself. So they're playing this game the morning after Christmas without their quarterback. Our most recent sample with them without their quarterback was an absolute shell-shocking defeat at Oklahoma. I think it happens again. Meanwhile, Kyle Whittingham's 10-1 in bowl games as head coach. Kind of hard to argue with that. I'll take Utah and Lance.
Completely agree. It all comes down to coaching in this. And in Whittingham, you know, we absolutely love Utah. We talk about Utah all the time, you know, especially their home field advantage and all that. Obviously, this is not a home game for them. But this is a game that I'm really actually super interested in watching this game to see how competitive this game is. Like you said, I'm not sure. West Virginia does have a tendency to be really super bipolar in bowl season. They could either, you know, put up 60, 70 points or they can completely no-show. But I think the extra motivation here is that this game is in Dallas. I think with recruiting, how important that is. And this is, what, 4 days after National Signing Day? So, you know, I think the coach that has their team more disciplined is going to put on the better show, which they're going to want to do for those recruits that they're going to have there from the Texas-Dallas area. So for me, I think that's what pushes Utah way over the edge for me. I love the discipline that that Whittingham brings.
So when you say the coach that brings more discipline, you mean the straight-laced Kyle Whittingham or the guy who looks like Phil Collins on 7 Red Bulls?
Well, correct. That's exactly what I mean. Good call.
Yeah, so I'm with you guys 100%, and it just all comes down to coaching. So we'll go with Utah on that one. The Quick Lane Bowl, Duke versus Northern Illinois. Duke is a 5-point favorite. Dan?
Let's check my notes on this one, Tom. Let's see. It says, agree with Tom Z. He's been riding Duke all year. No, it actually says, pick Duke.
But you know I have a new team now. I've traded in Duke for Wake Forest.
I know, it's pretty...
For my mediocre ACC team.
Therefore, I have no choice, due to your history, Tom, to continue your legacy and go with Duke. I don't have any notes on this game. It's the one I skipped. I just wrote, pick Duke for Tom. So that's all I got.
I didn't know where you were going. A lot of times when you say Tom likes this, that is your cue up to go the opposite way because of my notorious lifelong bad luck.
Yep.
That's oh, this, right. Oh, this works out perfect because I was actually leaning really a lot towards Duke. And I'm so glad to hear that you've abandoned them. You've jumped off the bandwagon, or at least you moved to the back of the bus.
Well, I haven't announced my pick yet.
Well, I want to get this out of the way before you put your before you get your janks all over it. Anyways,
that happened.
Long story short, Northern Illinois is like the fifth best team in the MAC. This is a super down year for the MAC. I love Duke in this game.
All right.
Well said, Tom.
Much to no one's surprise now, I'm going to pick Duke. But I will take Northern Illinois against the spread. 3-point win by Duke. I also have no notes on that. That is pure history. My history with Duke.
Strong history.
My history with Duke, by the way, is nothing, not caring about them. And then all of a sudden just riding the bandwagon for football for 3 years before abandoning them earlier this season for Wake Forest. But anyway, we got the Cactus Bowl. This one's out in your neighborhood, guys.
You do.
Kansas State, the aforementioned Bill Snyder, will he be ready? And then we've got UCLA with no coach. So I don't know what to think here.
You got UCLA with
no Who's coach. Better, Bill Snyder in a bowl game or nobody?
We're going with Bill Snyder in this one, Tom. UCLA, no coach. Josh Rosen's going to be up to no good up in the club at Scottsdale. UCLA may not even have enough players to be on the field for this game. They might have like 19 total and have some players playing both ways. I like UCLA as my candidate of number one most no-show team. There's always one that scores like 3 points. I'm guessing Josh Rosen rolls an ankle in the first quarter, and that's it. Or it's announced that he's not playing this game as well. I'll take Kansas State.
Totally agree. I think it's a better than 50% chance that Josh Rosen does not play in this game.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I want to do a little, quick little rant about this Cactus Bowl because it is the hometown bowl for us. Let me rephrase that. This is the hometown bowl for me on my side of town. The Fiesta Bowl is Dan's hometown, his home game, because that's on his side of town. So anyways, Cactus Bowl, real quick rant. It's a Big 12, Pac-12 bowl. Yet every year it's Kansas State or Iowa State from the freaking Big 12. The two most boring bullshit teams keep getting sent here. This is ridiculous. Can we please get a good Pac-12, a Big 12 team out here? Can we get someone that's going to score some damn points? I want to see a 60-50 Cactus Bowl here at some point. And this is just ridiculous. I'm sick of seeing Bill Snyder come here and bring this bullshit brand of football here. I love Bill Snyder. I have more respect for him than maybe any coach in the country, but I just can't stand watching him bring his bowl teams, his team to this bowl every year. I'm sick of it.
Well said, Tom. And I think we might get Oklahoma State next year. Once all that talent leaves, we'll get Mike Gundy down here with his new squad.
God, I wish.
That's very.
His mullet's going to be 3 feet long by then.
Can't wait.
Look out.
At least he's staying. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got for this game?
Mike Gundy's turning 50 this year, right?
I think so. He's really a man.
Are we going to get another good rant out of him? I feel like he owes us one every 10 years now.
It's coming.
It'll be like Dumb and Dumber 2. Like, it won't be as good, but we still feel like it should,
it's
you know,
good
we
for
still
recruiting.
Feel like we want it.
He'll do it next year. It'll be on YouTube for sure.
All right. So I defer to you guys in all things Pac-12, Big 12, and certainly anything in Arizona. I'm surprised that an Arizona team wasn't selected for this bowl game. That does seem weird when you can get the hometown team and maybe boost attendance that way. Just for the hell of it, I'm going to pick UCLA.
Oh.
I feel the opposite of you guys. I feel like this is Josh Rosen's chance to put on a show. And the only problem with that is maybe he doesn't want to put on a show and he'd rather be the second pick and perhaps not go to the Cleveland Browns. But if he wanted to, I feel like a good showing in this bowl game might be what he needs to be the number one pick overall. So I feel like normally I'd agree with you guys 100%. Waiting on the Chip Kelly era, looking ahead, no coach versus the tough Bill Snyder team. There's no reason on paper to pick UCLA, but I just feel like Rosen has to do something. Now, if he doesn't play, of course.
Tom,
no chance
Tom,
of that happening.
Why would Josh Rosen want to be the number one pick and go to Cleveland? Are you
straight cash, homie?
Nah, screw that. Let Baker Mayfield, that failure, go to Cleveland number one overall.
I
can't wait.
You think Baker Mayfield's going to be a number one pick?
Oh, I can't wait. This new GM they hired loves this clown. I can't wait.
I don't pay attention to the NFL hardly at all anymore, and certainly not to the like off the field stuff, draft rumors, etc. Where is Baker Mayfield's stock value? Because he was like earlier this season, even a month ago, he was third, fourth round.
Oh, no,
he really jumped that high?
Oh, he's going to the top 15.
Yeah, it's the NFL now.
Yeah. I honestly
we'll go top 25.
I think he's going to go potentially in the top 10, top 5.
If there is a team that maybe should think twice about drafting a smaller, dynamic quarterback with a lot of foot skills and running ability who also has a known bad attitude and is known to get into trouble, perhaps the team that drafted Johnny Manziel like 3 years ago might want to be careful about that one.
They don't fucking know what's going on. Just bring him in.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I hope they draft him and just stay a failure.
As bad as the Bills are,
at least I know the clowns will be worse.
Well, I don't think I've made my bold prediction that the day after draft day, we will see Ohio State's JT Barrett come out and do a press conference and say, you know, every other team wanted me to switch to a punt returner, but the Buffalo Bills believed in me that I could be a franchise quarterback, and I'm so glad they drafted me with the 16th overall pick.
Tom, they're not that dumb.
Don't
shut
worry.
Up. Move
oh,
on.
You sure about that?
I 100%.
EJ Manuel's got some thoughts.
I'm not talking about JT Barrett today. Move on.
All
right. I'm going to get angry.
Anyway.
He's all right.
Anyway. Yeah, I've set you off. The Independence Bowl on the 27th. Okay, this is a real interesting one. We've got Southern Mississippi versus Florida State. The new Florida State, Dan.
Yeah, the new Florida State hates Jimbo, apparently. And I think they're going to kill Southern Miss and avenge some frustration from the season. And, you know, I'm sure the coaching staff will be able to sell it to them as, oh, you know, this is our way to kickstart next year and lay it. You don't want to be chasing points with Southern Miss in this game. It's not going to be fun. Like, once you're down 17, you're like, all right, well, we can just get a 3 here. It's not going to happen. Just take Florida State. Have some fun.
Totally agree. Moving on.
Yep.
Totally agree. Moving on.
Yep.
All right. Still on the 27th. Oh, fellas, here we go. The Pinstripe Bowl.
Oh, God.
Yankee Stadium. Iowa versus Boston College. Iowa, a 3-point favorite. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Boston College had a cold start, but they improved a lot as the season went on. They're a superior team to Iowa, I believe, and that's coming from me. And I'll take Boston College, but please don't tell anybody.
I think both these teams are not very good. Both these teams, I think, have pretty decent defenses, though. I will give them credit. I think they both do. First team to 10 wins. Do yourself a favor and don't watch this shit.
Correct. Skip it.
As the one member of this podcast who has attended a Pinstripe Bowl in person, I just want to say what a fun experience it is. These are not the two teams that will inspire me to go again for a second year, unfortunately. Iowa is a Jekyll and Hyde team. When they play well, they crush Ohio State and they almost beat Penn State. When they play poorly, they look terrible against Michigan State and they lose to, teams they should beat. So you don't know what Iowa team you're going to get, but we've talked about Kurt Ferentz many times on this podcast. And if there's one team I expect has a good chance of not showing up and mailing it in, it's an up and down team that has a coach we're not especially fond of for getting his team up on a consistent basis. I think Boston College is pretty good. I've been riding them the last several weeks of the season, so I'm going to take BC straight up victory. Let's see. Oh, another one for you guys. Mm-hmm. So,
yep, here we go.
The Foster Farms Bowl, Arizona versus Purdue. Nice matchup here. Arizona -3.5.
If you're one of those people who says that there's too many bowl games, then up until this point, you can pretty much not pay attention. But this is the first game where it gets really good for about the next week, in my opinion. Purdue, nice year under first-year coach. Much improved team. Arizona had a great turnaround with Khalil Tate. Two outstanding freshman linebackers on that Arizona team as well.
Dan, from now on, please refer to him as 2018 Heisman favorite Khalil Tate.
Yeah, that's all right. Fine. I will. Thank you, Tom. 2018 Heisman favorite Khalil Tate will score a lot of points. However, Arizona's defense is really epically awful. Purdue will score also in bunches. This is my second total pick of the pod. We'll go over 65 for our pick, and I'll take Purdue as an underdog in this game as well.
Okay. Dan, I disagree. I'm going to take Arizona in this game. I'm going to ride that Khalil Tate bandwagon as long as I can. He is going to win the Heisman Trophy next year. And so I am excited to go ahead and bet him. So I'm going to go Arizona in this game.
So I'm looking for a big time shootout. I think, I believe the last time I was this excited about a Purdue bowl game, Dan, was 1999 watching against Kansas State in John Pagano's basement when we had bet, I think, what did we bet? We only bet like $100 between four of us.
It was a lot of money.
But we were like 18. That was a ton of money at the time.
That money was already spent. That is correct.
This was pre, you know, sportsbook.antigua too. Like, if we didn't win that one and money was already gone, we were going to have to talk to a bookie to get like a 2-week extension so our cash from Pine Grove Golf Course came in.
That's right, Tom. But that's there was a lot of points. Drew Brees, Michael Bishop, Martin Gramatica, Darren Sproles. Pretty fun. Pretty fun.
That was a hell of a game.
Fuck yeah. Alamo Bowl, 99. Anyway, so go ahead, Tom. Finish her up.
It's good memory. I didn't remember which bowl it was.
I'm pretty good. Thanks.
All right. You guys talked about Khalil Tate all season long, and because I go to bed at 10 o'clock Eastern, I never had a chance to see him and just until the last couple weeks. And I finally joined the bandwagon, and now you're telling me to take Purdue, Dan?
I am. Arizona's defense is not good. There will be a ton of points. But maybe this is the game where Khalil Tate wins and he starts his Heisman campaign for next year with 5 touchdowns. Damn it, I just thought of that. Switching my pick to Arizona.
All right, so I've got Arizona on the sheet, but I'm going with whatever you tell me to do because you're the one who knows this stuff.
Fuck it, Arizona.
Arizona.
All right, we'll go with Khalil Tate. Starting now, we ride with Khalil Tate through the Heisman ceremony of 2018.
It's fair.
We're starting the bandwagon.
Yep.
Let's see. The Texas Bowl.
Yeah.
Featuring Texas versus Missouri. Can we just talk about how Missouri was 1-5, I think, to start the season, and now they're in a bowl game against Texas? Hell of a job. They will be missing offensive coordinator Josh Heupel, the new Central Florida coach taking over for Scott Frost. So definitely have to take that into account, but whatever happens in this game, I just want to say awesome season and awesome turnaround by Missouri. Great quarterback there, Drew Lock.
Yeah, Tom, completely agree. Hats off to everyone at Missouri. Drew Lock, great season, ton of points, a lot of overs. A lot of people really like wagering on them. They're definitely a superior team to Texas. Therefore, I'm going to take Texas because it's the Texas Bowl, and I'm a Longhorns fan, and we're going to finish 7-6, damn it. Longhorns winning this fucking game. I don't know how, but they're going to get it done.
Ah, good call, Dan. And I'm going to tell you how they're going to win this game. Because Missouri is so one-dimensional. And in granted, Drew Lock is a very good one dimension to have. But Texas has who I think is maybe the second best defensive back in the country. I think he makes the play. I think Texas wins this on a defensive or special teams play. So therefore I am going to go with Texas straight up. Hook 'em horns.
All right. Much like you two, I have no logic, but I am picking Texas for no reason whatsoever. Except that kind of what you said, Dan, about Khalil Tate in Arizona kicking off the 2018 season. I think this is going to be Tom Herman's introduction to next season when, he takes Texas up a level in the Big 12. So I think it starts, if you're a Texas fan, If you're Tom Herman, it starts now, the campaign for next year. So let's do it. And since we're Texas fans now, hook 'em.
Hook 'em.
All right, moving along to the 28th, we've got the Military Bowl, Virginia versus Navy, UVA minus one. We do not need to spend a lot of time on this game.
Yet another game where the line and spread makes no sense to me. Navy favored by around 4 points in this game. Losers of six of their last seven. What?
Oh, I found a UVA minus one on one.
Then it's changed for good.
So I don't know if it's shifted a lot or if maybe there's just a diversity of different kinds of lines out there.
It's possible. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'm going ahead and taking Virginia. All the service teams are garbage this year. 6-7 losing the year. No thanks.
Totally agree. Going to go with Virginia. I like Virginia. They have the better talent, and they're more motivated to be there.
All right, I'm on board. Better talent, better coach, pretty decent quarterback. UVA wins. The Camping World Bowl. Mm. Virginia Tech versus Oklahoma State. First ranked versus ranked bowl game. Oklahoma State is a 4.5-point favorite.
Yes, I think Virginia Tech were this year's smoke and mirrors team, where they won all the games they were supposed to and blew out some cupcakes, but anytime they played anyone half decent, they got pushed around pretty good. I think Oklahoma State has some fun in this game, and they go off in style. Mason Rudolph, James Washington head off to the NFL. I think they put on a show, and they blow out Va Tech. So I'll take Oklahoma State in this game.
This is a tough one for me. This is another one of those motivation games. You know, Va Tech did have a pretty good season, and they get to keep their coach, which a lot of people didn't think they were going to get to keep their coach. You know, a lot of people expected Fuente to move on right away to an even bigger job, an SEC type of job, but they get to keep him. Oklahoma State gets to keep Gundy. This is a real tough game for me. The 6 is a little bit scary, but for me, I'm probably going to have to go ahead and lay that and take Oklahoma State.
All right, I'm going against you guys. I'm taking Virginia Tech, and the reason is just purely motivation, as you said. Oklahoma State, every year there are teams that should be or think they should be in a better bowl as of mid-November, and then they lose a game or two at the end, and they end up in a bowl such as the Camping World Bowl. And this year, Oklahoma State's one of those teams. In early November, they played Oklahoma, and they thought they were going to have a shot at winning the Big 12, or at least making their way into a New Year's Six Bowl. But now they find themselves ranked at 19th, facing Virginia Tech. This probably doesn't seem like much of a reward for them. So, you know what? Definitely give me the points with Va Tech, and I'll pick Va Tech straight up. But I at least like the points. Close game. The Holiday Bowl. All right, now we're getting into bowls that actually existed when we were younger. There aren't many of them left. But the Holiday Bowl has been around for a while. This is usually a good one, and we've got Mike Leach, so it's guaranteed to be entertaining. And they face off against Michigan State.
Absolutely. Holiday Bowl is always a personal favorite. That was always a good one when we lived on the East Coast. It started late, I remember, on the 28th. We'd always be home from school or college or whatever, and we could watch that game. It started at like 9 o'clock at night and saw.
Yeah, so it's at 9 p.m., on Fox, and it's right in that week between Christmas and New Year's where a lot of people have off.
I can remember now being 16 and seeing current BYU quarterback Tanner Mangum play his sophomore year in the Holiday Bowl. And it was a really great memory as a child. But anyway.
Yeah, this is the BYU Bowl as we were growing up back in the 90s.
It was the same.
It went Ty Detmer played, and then Ty Detmer played for 7 years, and then he went to the NFL, and then Tanner Mangum stepped right in.
25 years.
Him and Taysom Hill came in at the same year, and they've just taken turns each playing 1 year and getting medical red shirts.
It's been going on for 16 combined.
They each play 6 games of the season, and then they both get a medical red shirt for the last 47 years.
It's the most genius scheme I've ever seen. That being said, it's the year of Mike Leach. You can't pick against him in this spot. Luke Fox had a weird up-and-down year. Looked like a first-round pick in some games. got pulled in others. I think he wants to go out on a high note. On the other hand, Michigan State usually is a very poor bowl team. Mike D'Antoni does not value them very highly. So Year of the Leech, Luke and West Coast and Holiday Bowl, a lot of fun. Take Washington State.
Totally agree. Michigan State, there just doesn't seem to be a lot of motivation for them in this game. I think that, you know, the coaching and the senior quarterback definitely pushed this over the edge for me. And so I love Washington State. And though, even though it has always been the Holiday Bowl, what was it called before that?
I know we ask this question every year and I can never remember.
Can't think.
The Poinsettia Bowl.
There we go.
I always loved it because it was in San Diego. And even as a kid, before I ever went to San Diego, I always thought that was just a really cool game to watch. Like Dan said, late at night, eating leftovers, kind of sleepy, and you put that game on and you see sunshine and you see beach and ocean. And it was always a really cool game to watch. So, but always love Leech, always going to ride with Leech. Let's go Cougars.
You guys are the West Coast experts, and I don't really get to watch those games because they're on so late out here. Is Washington State any good? It seems as though by looking at box scores, they kind of started strong and haven't been particularly impressive since late October, November.
They are a very hot and cold regional team. Like their team, if it plays at home on Thursday night in October on ESPN, they can beat anyone in the country. If they got to play a road game at noon, forget it. Like, it's really hard to say with them. Super inconsistent.
All right. And Michigan State is known for being inconsistent under D'Antonio. That's sort of their MO for the last, I don't know, 15 years or whatever. They're one of the teams on my no-fly betting list. So I don't know what to do. Whatever I do, this is a low, low confidence pick. I'm not assigning a lot of points to this game, but I'm going to take Michigan State, and the reason is because I like their new quarterback. He's a young guy, and I think with the extra practice, he takes it up a level, and I think he makes a difference. He's good. You guys got to watch him. He's different than all the other, 6'3", stiff white guys they've had for the last 15 years. This guy can move a little bit. He can make some plays. I like him.
We'll take your word for it.
Lewicki. I always forget his name, but I think he's going to have a good future at Michigan State. The Alamo Bowl, the 28th, 9 p.m., Stanford versus TCU, TCU minus 2.5. This one's all you guys.
Sure. Stanford, as you know, is led by Bryce Love. Excellent rushing attack, great offensive line. Hopefully the time between the bowl game and the end of the regular season will give him time to heal his ankle. That being said, TCU, according to the College Football Metrics, has the number one defensive line in all of college football. That's an impressive stat. They're really well coached. I think if they can get a lead on Stanford, Stanford just mails it in. David Shaw is another coach who really, if you look at the numbers, really doesn't give a fuck about bowl games as well. So I like TCU.
Basically a home game for TCU.
Yep.
I think with the Bryce Love, I think it all does come down, like Dan said, to him resting and getting healthy. But at the same time, this dude, it hasn't been healthy for like the last like 7 games or something ridiculous. Like he's just gutting it out, getting it through this. And, I think these might be the two most underrated coaches in the country. Most underlooked, underappreciated coaches in the country in Shaw and Patterson. So for me, this is going to be a really fun game, but I'm going to lean TCU. If this was a little bit of a higher spread, I would rethink this. But, I think if you can get it around a field goal, I like TCU.
Yeah.
All right, so my analysis doesn't differ much from you guys, but I'm leaning Stanford. They've been playing well lately. I'll trust Bryce Love in the rushing attack over Kenny Trill. The final Kenny Trill game, Ryan, you have anything you want to say?
I'm going to pour one out for him. I might cry a little bit, and I will be excited. The Trill.
You'll get to see him on the Buffalo Bills next year. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm going to get to see him on the Arizona Rattlers arena team. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait to get his jersey. I'm starting to petition January 1.
Rattlers.
Kenny Trill to the Arizona Rattlers arena team. I will be the biggest fan.
You can just write Trill on the jersey if that happens, right? I mean, it's Arena League. We don't have to be serious about this stuff.
Correct.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so I'll lean Stanford, but if the point spread gets any higher than 3, or even if it gets to 3, I'm willing to take the points in that game. I don't have a strong pick. Low confidence. The 29th, we're closing in on the end of today's podcast. A few more games. The Belk Bowl. Wake Forest. Ah, my beloved Wake Forest versus Texas A&M. Dan, what's the state of Texas A&M football?
Well, they're happy that they have Jimbo. I mean, he's a guy who just won a national title in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it was. But in this game, they have no motivation whatsoever. And
who's coaching this game?
No idea. No clue. No clue. I like Wake Forest, another senior quarterback. I think he wants to go out in style. A&M just could completely no-show this game, very likely.
Dan, it is extremely likely that A&M does not show up for this game. This is an East Coast home game, basically, for Wake Forest, even though, you know, Wake Forest home games on campus aren't really home games, practically. So I know they're your favorite team, Tom. I'm going to go ahead and let you tell us all the reason why Wake is the play, but I'm going to go ahead and say Wake.
Yeah, Wake all day. The number one reason is what you said. A&M is one of the highest teams, the highest odds for a no-show. But even if they do show up, I like Wake Forest. They got a great quarterback, and they're a sound, solid team. They remind me of a, you know, Duke football or something, or a Georgia Tech team, where they obviously don't have the talent of the big dogs out there in the Southeast, but they play well. They're well coached. I really like their coach and think he should be strongly considered for bigger jobs maybe next year. And so, this is just a strong finish to a strong season. Whereas Texas A&M, what's their motivation in this game?
None.
Nothing. It's all about the future for them, so they don't care. Wake Forest, finish strong. All right. The 29th on CBS, 3 p.m., the Sun Bowl. NC State versus Arizona State. NC State minus 6.5.
Thank you, Tom. This is a very interesting game for me. I love this game. Okay, we have our first trap of the week, folks. I love Arizona State for a bunch of different reasons. NC State, don't get me wrong, very solid team. Hats off to them this year. They played all the, ACC top guns very well for the most part. But they're now playing in the Sun Bowl, which is in El Paso in the middle of nowhere, against Arizona State, who finished 7-5, which is not good, you know, whatsoever. However, if you look at their losses, 4 out of 5 of them were under a touchdown. And this is a very weird situation. They hired Herm Edwards as coach. However, current coach Todd Graham will stay on to coach this game, as well as their defensive coordinator Phil Bennett, who will both leave after this game. That being said, Manny Wilkins, a quarterback, isn't the worst or, you know, horrible at the end of the world type player. Arizona State was a little bit frisky towards the end of the year. Regional game, getting almost a touchdown. First trap of the bowl season, Arizona State. Like that a lot. One of my most confident picks of the whole season.
Wow. Pretty interesting, Dan.
Love it.
I'm going to go ahead and disagree with you. And here's why. I'm going to go ahead and bet against Arizona State every effing game they play until Herm Edwards gets fired, because he is an absolute dumpster fire of a coach. He's going to turn that program into an absolute laughingstock. They're going to be Kansas football before they figure out that they screwed up and fire this ass clown. It's going to be awful. I'm never going to bet Arizona State again. This is just a shitty hire. The AD.
It's been, what, 2 weeks?
I don't care. Herm has coached in college.
This is your last chance.
In 1989. The last time he coached in the pros was a decade ago, and he went 2-14. and he couldn't find a job. So his former agent, who's now the AD at ASU, decided to hire him. He pulled the freaking Butch Jones, "We're going to be champions in life" already on his press conference. Didn't know the damn mascot's name. He's going to call.
Yeah, guys, just because he doesn't know the name of his school.
I'm out. I'm 100% out. Khalil Tate fan number one here. I am never betting Arizona State again. Can't do it, Dan. Just can't do it. And I've been down on NC State all year. I've not been on NC State. I've been against them all year, and I still cannot pull the trigger. Can't do it.
You've been driven into the arms of Rich Rod.
Oh, no. I have.
You know it's bad. It's dire.
Dire straits.
Oh, God.
I also picked NC State just because I didn't really know what was going on with the coaching situation out there in Arizona State, and it seems like a cluster, and I don't know what's going on. Seems like some bad karma floating around that program. I totally agree with you guys. The odds of them becoming a laughingstock are way too high for comfort.
Very high.
Watch out. If you're a fair weather Arizona State fan, now might be a time to like step off, you know, just say that you have a new job or something. And, you know, because of my work requirements, I no longer have time to follow Arizona State. Check back in 5 years. If you're a diehard fan, I'm sorry. Just, you know, get some canned goods and try to make it through this difficult time.
Good advice.
Let's see. Where are we? The Music City Bowl, Kentucky versus Northwestern. Northwestern, touchdown favorite.
You're going to tell me there's an SEC team playing a game in Tennessee, catching more than a touchdown against a Big Ten school? I don't need to know anything else. Give me Kentucky in 7.5.
Northwestern's got a QB and a running back that are both going to go to the NFL, and not just go to the NFL. They're legitimate NFL players. For me,
Justin Jackson's good, real good.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that really kind of pushes me towards Northwestern, but at the same time, that is a lot of points for an SEC caliber defense to deal with. So for me, I would try to actually get a little cute with this game and double up. I would take the Northwestern money line and then take Kentucky in the points. You're going to double up, win both. This is a 3 or 4 point game, I think.
All right. I agree with you 100%. I've got on my sheet here Northwestern straight up, but Kentucky with the points. Northwestern's been playing real nice the last month, 6 weeks. They closed out the season nicely. They're a formidable team in the Big Ten. I know they're a perennial joke, kind of, but been pretty good this year. So I think they win. They finish strong, get a win. The Arizona Bowl. Not sure where this one is, but it's Utah State versus our beloved New Mexico State. Utah State -4. Dan, where's this game being played? It's near you?
This is Tucson. It's not good.
It's got a prime placement on the 29th at 5:30, considering the quality of teams.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
This should be a December 20th bowl for sure.
This is one of the worst bowl games of the year for sure. New Mexico State made a bowl game for the first time in like 47 years. Coach was crying after the game. It was a big deal for the program. That being said, they're really not good whatsoever. They're just happy to be at a bowl game in Tucson, which seems like New York City for them. I'll take Utah State.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to this. I'll go with Utah State. They're better talent.
I don't know anything about either of these teams, except that Utah State, I think allegedly Chucky Keaton is no longer there, although if he just shows up and throws on a uniform for this game, it could happen, 2% chance. New Mexico State, as you said, Dan, first time in a bowl in forever. So for that reason, I'm going to say that they're motivated and they show up and New Mexico State wins the game. But that's just a random guess, so I'm not wasting a lot of confidence points on that one. All right, guys, the Cotton Bowl.
No, can we?
This will be the one.
Are we going to save that?
Well, because it's on the 29th, I figure we just do it now, unless you want to wait.
Wait.
All right, we'll wait then. USC versus Ohio State, you'll have to wait for that one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
All right, so let's move along. I know you got thoughts on this one then. The Tax Slayer Bowl, Louisville versus Mississippi State. Louisville -6.5.
Yeah.
The end of the Lamar Jackson era.
Yeah, absolutely. This is my number one lock of the whole bowl season. I don't understand this line. I think this is only because of SEC, you know, kind of name involved. What's there to talk about? Lamar Jackson in his last game is going to put on an absolute show. Playing against the Mississippi State team without a head coach and without their quarterback as well. It just looks pretty poor for them. I expect Louisville to blow them out epically. If you saw the Egg Bowl, you saw what Mississippi State could do after their quarterback got hurt. It wasn't great. Blowout, Phil. Louisville, number one lock.
Totally agree. This is absolutely number one confidence. You know, Lamar Jackson, like you said, it's just he's going to put on an absolute show. If you want to make a little extra money on this game, go ahead and look at some of his prop bets and just go ahead and bet over on pretty much all of them because they're all going to come in. He's just going to put on an absolute show. And there's nothing Mississippi State can do about it.
All right. Shout out to Mississippi State. Great hire with Joe Moorhead. And then Joe Moorhead is bringing in former Penn State defensive coordinator Bob Shoup, stealing him away from Tennessee. So I think they've got a good future with those two. Moorhead's a real good coach. But for this game, we've got running back coach Greg Knox coaching the game. No Nick Fitzgerald, Lamar's final game. We don't coordinate these ahead of time for our listeners, but Dan, I wrote on my sheet here, easiest pick, ? So
there you go.
Louisville all the way, yeah, for sure.
Straightforward. And this is our final game,
right.
I believe.
Yep.
The Liberty Bowl, yes.
Yeah.
Iowa State versus Memphis.
What's
Ryan's got
say?
Thoughts, but Dan, you go first.
Sure. Iowa State was a great story. They are a great story. They had two top five wins this year. Yada, yada. Everything looked really good for them. But they've lost three of their last four, their only win being against the laughingstock Baylor Bears. Memphis is just a better team. They've been offensive firepower show. I'm not really sure I messed that up. They're going to score a lot of points. That's all I got to say about that. But, yeah, good for them.
Memphis.
We're an hour and a half into this, so you can't expect us to make coherent arguments anymore.
Oh, I'm going to make a very coherent argument. Here it is. Memphis!
You've been on the Memphis bandwagon all year, Norvell.
All season. I've been the number one Memphis supporter. Love Memphis. Love their team total. You can even look at an over in this game, potentially. I know Iowa State keeps people low. That's going to scare a lot of the bettors and keep that number on the low side. But Memphis can just – they can put up 50 on almost anybody. And I love Memphis in this game.
All right. I'll take Memphis straight up. I like the over. But I'll take Iowa State with the points. Keep it close. Right now it's at 3.5, so let's say it's going to be a three-point game. Power five against non-power five. You give me a bunch of points.
Blowout.
3 or 4 points.
Blowout.
You think so? I think Iowa State, I mean, they're well coached. They've got a good team. They've got good quarterback play from their third or fourth stringer, whoever has been playing. He's been doing a nice job. So I see no reason why they wouldn't show up.
Yeah, I agree. I think they will show up, but I just think Memphis is more talented. They have a QB, two wide receivers and a running back, all going to go to the NFL. That's just their coach is one of the most in demand coaches in the country. He's going to be, you know, out of there pretty soon and he's going to get a great job. You know, so I love Memphis.
This is my pick for the, four overtime ends on a Statue of Liberty play 3-point game, 57-54.
Okay.
All right.
So I guess we've reached the end then. We will save the Citrus Bowl and Notre Dame and LSU for next time.
Yes.
Unless you guys have thoughts on that now.
We'll wait.
No? All right. So when we come back in a couple weeks, we will have the Citrus Bowl, and we will have all the New Year's Six games and the playoffs, so all the big games, and that'll be released, I guess, the week after Christmas. Next week, we're going to have a short special episode for you guys that has nothing to do with bowl games, so that'll be a secret, but stay tuned for that one. What do we want to end with?
Not much. Enjoy the bowl season. Enter some pools. Have fun. Bet the unders.
Ryan, you had a rant, didn't you?
Did I? No.
I'm trying to blank. Oh, Nick Saban, saving America.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Let's end on that. We don't get too political around these parts, but every now and again, it's worlds collide, and they need to we need to explain. So in the recent very recent Alabama election for Senate, there was a Republican candidate and a Democratic candidate, and it came down, the total came down to under 21,000 votes was the difference in the election. Yet there were over 23,000 write-in votes, most of which are for Nick Saban. So there is a very good chance when all is said and done, because there is Alabama state law that requires them to release the amount of write-in votes if that amount is higher than the difference in the election. So they are going to have to release this, the numbers, but there is a very good chance that Nick Saban swung the state of Alabama to the Democrats and potentially, you know, started a very seismic shift in the Senate and the House in this country. So thank you, Nick Saban. We're going to talk about you more and your football team next time, but thank you for saving America. I really do appreciate that. Now, instead of having a pedophile in Senate, we have a legitimate, you know, honest politician, and we have Nick Saban to thank. So thank you, Nick Saban. Thank you.
So I don't know if you know what spurned all of this on, but the governor of Alabama,
oh, yeah,
who is a Republican, he said, and with good reason, I'm not voting for a child molester. But he's obviously the Republican governor, so he's not going to vote Democrat. So he said, I'm writing in Nick Saban, and I urge you all to do the same.
Yep,
Nick not that Saban people of Alabama Malzahn needed. I mean, they would have written in Nick Saban anyway. But
well, of course they would have. But I don't.
I mean, he would have got 6,000 votes anyway, but he might have got 20,000 now.
Exactly.
So Nick Saban might have changed the course of American history yet again.
He did. I'm telling you, Nick Saban saved America. He turned Alabama blue. You know how freaking hard that is? That's like impossible. No president has done that in like 30 years. And Nick Saban turned Alabama blue. That's insane. So.
Well, you know what that means. Saban 2020.
Saban Popovich 2020.
So I, you know, this will change. So let me just mention it. And you guys can tell me whether you have thoughts or not. The futures for the champion, Alabama is the current favorite. They're all kind of bunched together, but Alabama has the best odds at a 19 to 10 odds. And then I believe Clemson is second, Georgia is third at 3-1, and then Oklahoma is last place. Personally, I feel like there's never been a playoff in the short history where all four teams had such a close chance of winning it all. Like, I really could see the case for all of them. But, you know, based on those odds, is there anyone worth throwing down a few bucks on at this point?
Not until I know how many players get arrested from each team.
Not really.
No,
not yet. Not ready.
All right. Well, then we will make you all wait a couple weeks until you get to hear our picks for the New Year Six in the playoff. Until then, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Festivus, Kwanzaa, whatever it is you celebrate, enjoy. And thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for sitting through a long ass bowl episode.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's worth it.
Love it.
We picked a lot of winners, so you're welcome, America.
That's right. You'll thank us or hate us. We've either given you a lot of useful information or completely wasted your time. But we are 66% on the year, thanks to Mr. Dan Partridge. So we're doing well.
Working on it.
All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Adios.
Take the point.